Thank you to BetterHelp for sponsoring this episode. We spend a lot of time talking about how important it is to take care of your mental health. Therapy is an excellent way to do that. BetterHelp is an affordable mental health care option that fits right into your busy schedule. Just answer a few quick questions about your needs and preferences, and BetterHelp will match you with one of the thousands of experienced mental health professionals in their network. You can talk to your therapist over text, chat, phone, or video. You get to pick what works best for you, your comfort, and your schedule. If you feel like your therapist isn't the right fit, BetterHelp makes it easy to switch to someone new at no additional cost. So give it a try and see why over 2 million people have used BetterHelp online therapy. BetterHelp is offering our listeners 10% off their first month of therapy. Just go to betterhelp.com/musicspeaks to get started. That's betterhelp, HELP.com/musicspeaks to get 10% off your first month of therapy.
Hey guys, we wanted to take a quick minute to tell you about our recent partnership with the Amazing Bones Coffee Company.
Let's face it, you're probably sick and tired of drinking that old plain Jane coffee brand every morning. Well, fret not, dear listener. Bones Coffee is here to kick your taste buds into high gear.
Bones Coffee has a wide variety of flavors to choose from, including maple bacon, peaches and spring, island grog, and my personal favorite, chocolate raspberry.
Once you become hooked on the coffee, you'll be excited to learn that they have plenty of merch options to choose from as well. T-shirts, mugs, tote bags, the list goes on.
You can buy their coffee in whole bean, ground, and even evil single serve options.
Guys, we wouldn't lie to you. This coffee is great, and we know that you're going to love it too, which is why we have partnered up with Bones Coffee, and now our listeners have an exclusive discount code.
Make sure to use the code MUSICSPEAKS at checkout for 10% off your order.
That's right, James. Go to bonescoffee.com to kickstart your new coffee addiction and use the code MUSICSPEAKS for 10% off today. If you're anything like me, free time is limited. So things like yard work are just not doable. And if you're also like me, you don't even own a lawnmower. That is why All Above Landscaping is the right choice. All Above includes a variety of options when it comes to your landscaping needs, including lawn installation, design, irrigation, debris removal, maintenance, and much more. If you're in the city of Sumter and you're looking for reliable service at a friendly price, give All Above Landscaping a call today. It's 803-464-7414. Mention that you heard this ad on this podcast and you'll get a special discount on your first service. Again, that's 803-464-7414. Call All Above Landscaping today. Like so many of you, we battle depression through life's ups and downs.
Music has always been the one thing we could rely on to get us through the tough times we all face.
Follow us on our journey as we discuss the healing power of music, share our stories through songs and lyrics,
interview musicians and other artists,
break down genres,
deep dive into band biographies,
and much, much more.
This is the Wittenberg Fail
Music Speaks podcast
with Blake Mosley,
James Cox,
and Amanda Dolan.
All right. Hello, everybody. Thank you for joining us on another episode of When Words Fail, Music Speaks. I am one of your hosts here. My name is Blake Mosley. I'm joined by James Cox today. How you doing, sir?
Hey, how you doing?
I am living the dream, my friend. But we've got more important guests to get to today.
Yes, because
I mean, let's face it, everybody's sick of us. Like, let's get to our special guest that we have today. We are joined by Cliff and Susan. How are you guys doing today?
We're good. We're great. Awesome. Glad to be here. We're on the West Coast. We're in California today, so we're enjoying the Cali weather.
Nice. All right. So it's not as muggy and as miserable as it is over on this side of the country, I'd imagine.
Right,
so.
Right.
Well, before we get to our questions for you guys, we're just going to give our listeners a little bit of a rundown of your history here. So Cliff Prowse, a singer, songwriter, multi-instrumentalist, arranger, and producer, has been creating music for decades, started at a young age, honing his skills in the town square of Mount View, Arkansas, to recording, living, and performing in Nashville, Tennessee. Cliff's versatility as a multi-instrumentalist has led to many collaborations with award-winning artists. He's produced over 30 artists and continues writing, arranging, and creating. Susan Irwin Prowse, a singing piano entertainer, boasts a thriving international music career spanning two decades, with two albums released out in Nashville. Since 2003, Susan has followed her music passion and left the corporate world as a radio frequency engineer to travel the world entertaining in high-energy piano bars. Susan took 10 years of classical piano lessons starting at the age of six. She is an honors graduate of the University of Central Arkansas with a degree in pure mathematics. I don't even know what pure mathematics are. I'm scared of regular mathematics, right. So that really terrifies me. So together they are a power couple in the country music industry, and we're so excited to have them here today. And once again, thank you guys for sitting in and chatting with us.
Yes.
We're excited to be here.
Yeah. I hope everything that was on the body was 100% correct, because I got that from you. I didn't know if that would.
Well, it's sometimes, not fair.
Yeah, okay, because sometimes it's like not correct at all, So I just wanted to throw that out there and, make sure it's not. Yeah. But but we do honestly thank you for coming on today. And, so the way I found out about you is an interesting tidbit. Michael Stover, a good friend of yours and mine, and Blake's, I guess. nobody's met the guy. So you said you never met him before.
I know. So Michael Stover is our publicist. We've been working with him since August of last year, and he I think he's a self-proclaimed introvert and does most of his work just on computer, and has been a fantastic team member of ours and someone who's helped us bring our music and exposure to the world. And but I don't think anybody's met Michael. I hope to meet him one day at an award show, because he's up for some awards like we are.
Yes, yes. But he sent me an email link of you two doing a cover song of Van Morrison's Into the Mystic.
Yes, yes.
How did y'all know that? That's like one of my favorite songs of all time.
Well, it happens to be a favorite of a lot of people's. I think it should be more famous than it has been, but I think it's been one of those songs that people either they really love it because they know about it, or they hear it and they go, wow, I've heard that song, and they really resonated with it. And
yeah, I think for some reason it's kind of just recently starting to gain popularity again. Mm-hmm. For some reason. And we had been performing it for a little while and decided we should record it because we were really digging it. And we got some great feedback from other of our fans.
Right. Well, the studio version isn't out yet. It comes out like next week or
no, it's out.
It just came out.
Perfect.
Yeah. Perfect. So everybody will go download it right now. Come back to this, interview.
Yeah.
But, okay, so Cliff does a production with the songs, so when y'all do like a cover, who decides on like who sings it and who does the backing vocals? Because Cliff is the main singer in this one, and then Susan, you are the backup, which is perfect. I love your voices, but I just want to know who decides what role to take.
Well, I think when we do our shows, we don't do over 200 shows a year, and we're playing cover shows. We do a lot of original shows now as well. But when we're deciding who sings the song, sometimes it comes down to who knows the song better when we're in our live setting. Yeah. But then also we do try to make a choice on who would present the song best as the lead vocal versus, and then we're always adding tasteful background vocals to most every song that we perform. Mm-hmm. And in this case, when you hear Cliff singing on this, I think it's the obvious. The reason we chose to reproduce or record this song and release it was when Cliff was singing it to me. Every time he would start that first line, I would look at him like, yeah, that you were meant to sing this song. It just had a really just special about that first line, and just in general his vocal and his, I guess he was just kind of born to sing this song, in my opinion. So that's how we decided on this one. But just specifically across, we're playing a lot of shows and 4-hour shows, and it really comes down to who is knows it, but also who will sound the best leading it. So some songs are more female centric and some more male, and then some can be either or, and we just kind of figure it out as we play shows
as you go along. Right. I think that Cliff does an amazing job, and you do an amazing job as a backing vocals.
Thank you.
And I like the song because it kind of calms me down, you know. You know how songs do that.
Yeah.
And your version really helps me through, you know, if I'm not having a good day at work, I come home and listen to it, and I'm like, oh my God, thank you, you know. Mm-hmm. So, and I was hoping that you would have the foghorn low, and y'all did perfectly.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah, and it's very faint, but I heard it.
Yeah.
Yes, you added it, you know. So yeah.
Well, I'm sure we'll talk about where we've recorded it, but we recorded in Muscle Shoals at Fame Recording, which is a famous over 60-year-old studio in that little town of Alabama, very famous city. I encourage anyone to go watch the Muscle Shoals documentary if you don't know about Muscle Shoals. It's the best way to quickly learn about how amazing it is. And when we went down there, we toured Fame while we were in town and discovered that we could record there. And when we saw and just felt the energy of that place and the city and the recording studio, we made a decision to record this song and then another original of ours that we'll release later this year. And we had Cliff, it was recording guitar and vocals, and I'm on keys. Can you hear us?
Yes.
Okay.
Did I cut out?
Sorry. I was on keys and the background vocals, but we had the full band, this iteration of the Swampers from Fame. And so we had a drummer, another guitarist, and a bass player. And so back to what you said, the foghorn on there. Did you do the foghorn, or did you have Scott?
Yeah. Well, and we were about to wrap up, and I was like, well, hang on, I got to do one more thing. I grabbed my slide for my guitar and just cranked up like some distortion, put like really heavy reverb on it, and just hit that foghorn sound, because I was like, you gotta have it somewhere.
This
song needs more foghorn. I love the cover. So that song has a very like special place in my heart too, and for my wife, because it's like that song is so heavily tied to how we met. It's one of her favorite songs ever. There was a music festival like in town. I was in a band. We kind of ran with the same crowd as far as musicians. It's a small town. Everybody has played music with each other at some point. So, you know, someone had told me about her. I looked her up on Facebook. I sent her a message. I was like, hey, we should hang out sometime. Come listen to my band play at this festival. Yeah. And she was already at the festival, watching someone else play their cover of that. Now like this song that she already loved, like has even more special meaning to her because it was like the first time we ever talked, she was listening to the song. So we both work from home. And like when I told her we were doing this interview today and I pulled up your cover and started playing it, she was like, I love this song. So she enjoyed it. So
she gave it two thumbs up. Thank you. Yeah. That's awesome. Well, you know, I'm sure we'll share our story, but we met playing music on stage. Yeah. We just celebrated our 7th year anniversary.
Congratulations.
Yeah. We've been together for 8 years, but married 7 just now. So
I guess you have. Because I read y'all met at at a bar. I guess we were performing at the same thing.
Yeah. We were both booked in Little Rock, Arkansas at Willie D's Dueling Piano Club. And we met, and then I immediately added Cliff to my show that I was doing at a casino about an hour away there in Arkansas in Hot Springs. And so music happened immediately. Love happened pretty quickly. We eloped in Vegas a year later. So it's been
nice.
Nonstop fun since we met.
That's awesome. I love that. So what was kind of your introduction to like country music? Did you guys grow up both like listening to country music and it just felt kind of natural, or what's the story behind that?
For sure. You know, I mean, obviously growing up in the South, country music is a big deal. And it was a big part of both of our childhoods as well as a lot of other music. I think we were both well versed in a lot of variety of music growing up. My dad was in rock bands growing up, so I was big into the 80s stuff, but he also always did country music. And I actually grew up quite a lot with my grandparents. Not that they raised me, but they kind of did at the same time.
Sure.
And you know, they did take me to Mountain View, Arkansas, which we touched on just for at the in our bio. And you know, we that's the old-timey bluegrass, fiddle and mandolin and dobro, banjo, and so
Yeah.
you know, that was always kind of early on in my musical journey. And you know, I think growing up the 90s country is really my biggest influence. And that even still the 80s and 90s, because my dad was still listening to the 80s country. He was on that. He was like, the 80s is the best. And so it's just followed us everywhere. And you know,
Yeah.
everywhere we go, when we bring the fiddle, everybody just was like, oh, country, I want to hear more country. Even here in California,
Yeah.
you can't get
Right.
enough of country. And
Yeah.
it's crazy to us.
We don't know if
Yeah.
it's inherent to who we are when we pull out a fiddle and they know we're from Arkansas. That's like all of a sudden they want to, or I think we've landed on the and asked enough questions to know that country really is very popular, even out here on the West Coast, and it's just becoming
Right.
more popular. So,
Yeah.
the which we love that, because I, to answer your question from my perspective, I grew up listening to Southern rock and country. I can't remember a time that I wasn't listening to country music or Southern rock and roll with my parents.
Yeah.
And so I think part of that's just being from the South, and country is a very, you know, I'm distantly related to Johnny Cash. Not that I
Wow.
would say there was a lot of Cash family members around me
Yeah.
growing up, but I'd like to claim that, you know, maybe somewhere in my DNA, I was meant to be in the country music world. But
Well, and
yeah.
funny enough, she's distantly related to Johnny Cash, and I'm related to June Carter. So,
Yeah.
dude,
So
with that.
Whoa.
Hey,
That is
right.
wild.
Jesus.
We figured that
Wow.
out that after we got married, and I was like, wait a minute, I need to do this math. Is that what mean we're related? I'm like,
No.
nope, we're married.
I would say
I mean, there's an Arkansas joke in there for sure, but it's not.
so
There's two different trees, maybe the same forest, but we don't come from the same tree. It's a different tree.
are we are am I talking to the new Johnny Cash and June Carter right now?
I think so. I'm gonna go
Yes.
ahead and call it. Yeah, I'm gonna say
Let's
that's
say
what it is.
yes, like we knew you. All right, cool. Okay, so I get so I got a few hard questions for you. The hardest question will come at the end of the episode. But
Okay.
the first hard question is, who is, in your opinion, who is your the best country artist right now?
Who? Okay. Well, right
Yeah.
now,
Email or mail, and you know it's totally up to
okay,
you.
I have to go with Lainey Wilson. I mean, Lainey Wilson
Agreed.
is
Yeah.
killing it. And
Agreed.
I became a fan of hers right before she won all the awards. So
Yeah.
I was like, oh, this girl, and I love what she stands for. I think she's humble, she's honest, she's got work ethic, she was raised right, her personality is spot on. And then you add her talent and the songs and the team behind her, and then she
Amazing.
won all these awards and every and the Yellowstone thing, like just so many
Right.
angles that she's just checking all the boxes. And I really look up to her, and I look to her team, and her entire trajectory is a very inspirational one, and one that I take notes from and want to emulate what we can where we are at the level we are at. And so
Yeah.
that's my answer. I love Lainey. I think she's great. She's my best friend in my head. She just doesn't know it. We're best friends.
There you
We've got a
go.
ton of those. We've got
Yeah.
like me and my wife have a list of like
Yeah.
celebrities that we're like, these are our best friends. And like if we ever
Well,
met them in person,
that's his
we're
hall pass. Lainey's his hall pass. So, you know.
Yes. Good thing, brother. Very good thing.
I'm definitely not secretly trying to figure out how to get that
No. Right.
to happen. I'd say my current, which I don't even know if she knows that, one that I've been following lately is Zach Top. I don't know
Oh,
if y'all know who
I don't
Zach
think
Top
I've ever
is.
heard of him.
Don't definitely check him out. An incredible guitarist and writer, singer, performer. I think he's, you know, he's finally gaining some good popularity and momentum, which is really good to see, because there have been so many of these, and not to say I don't like these artists, but the Morgan Wallens, the Jelly Rolls, it's just different.
Yeah.
Like, really brings back that old school country feel with the steel guitar and his country chops on guitar, and
Yeah.
just the content, you know, of what he's singing. So that's one of my favorites right now.
Yeah. Zach
I
Top.
I love that you brought up Jelly Roll. So like, you know, we're in the South too, right? Like, you know, we've all like James, I will admit that James is a much bigger country fan than I am. I grew up around it, but it just wasn't my thing up until recently. And it's been artists like Zach Bryan and, you know, different ones like that. And it's because of Yellowstone, oddly enough, that I started getting into some of those things. But the other day, my wife doesn't listen to a whole lot of country unless it's something that we both are kind of listening to while we're working. And she's like, should I know what a Jelly Roll is? And I was like, look, I can try to go down that rabbit hole. Just here's all you need to know. If you see a picture of him, this is him. So, but that one passed right over me.
Well, Jelly is an interesting case in point for country music right now is adopting a lot of what you would not think of as mainstream stereotypical country music sure. artists. There's a lot of diversity happening.
Right.
A lot of people, they don't look a certain way. And I will say what I love about Jelly Roll is that you can see his heart. He is a dude at his core. And I think that topic is the one of note, just not to go off on a sidebar, but sure. I think when good people are doing good music, it really helps. I think a lot of people gravitate toward them and want to collaborate in art. And then all those collaborations really reach other fan bases. And so I think that's been one of his biggest things is not, he is talented and has some great songs. But I think his heart is what I think the country music community has really gravitated towards. So,
I
also think that the collabs that they've been doing, you know, we talked about country music on the rise. I think that is a humongous reason why country and mainstream country has made such a rise in the charts statistically. Like there's with Morgan Wallen and Zach Bryan and Yellowstone, obviously that was a catalyst for so many people to get into country music and Lainey as well. That's
what
popular and rose to stardom there. But you know, the collaborations and variety
across genres,
in cross genre for country has really caused it to shoot up. I think is why it's so popular.
Yeah. Yeah, and he just did a collaboration with Ronnie Radke from Falling in Reverse, and it was the oddest like team up and collaboration. But I was like, hey man, this is the day and age that we live in. Like everybody's doing something, like Post Malone's doing songs with Morgan Wallen, and it's just all over the place.
Interesting part is to find the country music community who is rooted in this. Core fundamental, this is country, you know, and that old school country, which I think absolutely is beautiful and should never lose its appeal. But I think it ruffles some feathers as we evolve. And I think it's going to shake out in a really cool way where we retain country music for what it is, but we bring some new life to it. And I welcome, I love diversity. I love all of it coming over. Now, do I like everything I'm hearing that people are trying to do and make country? Not necessarily, but I'm like, hey, come on, let's do it.
Being open to it. That's what it's all about. Right. Cause then that's how music evolves. That's how your creativity evolves. And the collaborations that are had, it's like a way to introduce to a new fan base. And it's just kind of makes everybody feel a little more together.
And we need more of that in the world right now, don't we?
Amen.
Oh my God. Let country music be the solution. Come on now.
Yeah, for real.
That's right. So Cliff, let me say this. I am super jealous of you.
Don't be.
Two things. I already know where he's going. With
no, you don't. Oh, you don't. Well, two things. One, you have a beautiful wife with you. And then the other thing is, I was on your YouTube, I think, and I think Susan mentioned that you can hear a harmony just like out of the blue and make a full song out of it. How do you do that? And how can you teach me how to do that?
Yeah.
Well, I could teach you. I could teach you how to listen. That's it. You
know, okay.
that's really the key is, you know, like critical observation and listening to not just what a part sounds like, but what should be happening in a part. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know how to really play steel guitar because I don't have a lap steel. I don't have a pedal steel. I do have a lap steel, but you know, certain little instruments that I can mimic and make sound like they should be there, not just like I'm trying to make it happen. There's a lot that goes into arrangement. You know, I do have, I have the gift of a good ear. And I think it was mainly from my dad raising me in music. And I remember subtle things that, you know, he's like, listen to what's happening here. I remember driving in the car and we would be listening to some song and he would point out, you know, stuff in the background that nobody else is listening to. And so I think a lot of things along the way as I was growing up, I kind of learned how to intently listen to things, not just the surface of what we're hearing, but listening to everything and how they all come together to sound like a cohesive song. So that's kind of where it began.
What I love is when an artist comes in or we have an idea or any, whether it's just a vocal, we've had some singers come in and just sing a song, just sing it from their no instrument, no. And then Cliff will go build an entire arrangement based on them saying, I want it to sound like this genre. They might give him a couple reference tracks to be like, I kind of like this about this song or this one, but Cliff can hear this in his head. And then he starts building it, every instrument, drums, bass, guitar, fiddle, dobro, mandolin, whatever he sees the need. I walked in the other day, he was working with this pop artist, my best friend's 20-year-old at Belmont. She's at Belmont now. She came over, she sang the song, and she wanted steel drums. And he's like, oh my gosh, sorry. She came in, she's like, I want steel drums. And he was like, boy, I don't know what I'm going to do with this. And then a couple months later, I walk in and they're in there recording it. And he's taking these soundscapes and like making these sounds happen to sound like waves with just almost like Foley for a movie or something. And I'm like, what's going on in here?
I mean, I just, you use steel brushes for drums. So I just slid my desk out, put a microphone on my desk and slid some brushes around with some reverb on it.
I was like, okay. And then so cool. Beautiful. And I was like, he's a brilliant, brilliant brain. I'll tell on him. The part that God gave him on the music side took away the direction side. He cannot find Walmart.
Hey, man.
I can find Guitar Center and I can find Taco Bell.
Well, that's all you need. Important things you need. Yeah. I don't know what it is about guys, but when you go, I think it all ruined when the GPS came out. You know, that can do everything for you. You know, getting.
Oh, I know. Places. Yeah.
But yeah, if you tell me to go like to California, I don't know which way to go. Where.
Yeah, right.
So I'm right there with you. Cliff.
I did not take after my grandfather. My grandfather, he could go somewhere one time and he could tell you what the hardware store is, the post office, the Wendy's, the whatever. It doesn't matter. He had a brilliant way, but he was an engineer mind.
Yeah.
Oh yeah.
He was an engineer mind.
Photographic memory type deal. Engineer.
You know, I'm a techie engineer mind.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, you can take me to music trivia at the brewery, and I'll help every chance I can. But like, you ask me to do anything like directions or just normal mathematics, not for me. So as far as like your individual musical influences and styles, how does it blend whenever you guys are like writing music? Do you kind of like pull from your various backgrounds and be like, this is a little more natural, so I'll kind of insert this stuff, and then the other person kind of inserts until you just kind of have this the song that you've created together, and it's like a perfect blend of your styles. Is that kind of what happens?
Yeah, I'll start and let her take over. I think for the most part, one thing that really helps is I think we're always kind of on the same page musically. Mm-hmm. We do have a lot of the same influences. So it certainly helps when we're in the developmental stages of writing.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, you know, our song Fiddle and Keys is a good example of us blending two styles of music together into one song to be who we are individually, but amplify who we are as a duo in our brand. So Fiddle and Keys was written because we wanted to have an original song. Not that we don't like playing Devil Went Down to Georgia, which we don't want to hear. But, you know, it'd be nice if we could rock out on a fiddle on our own dang song, you know, so we wrote Fiddle and Keys, where he wrote a signature Charlie Daniels-esque, you know, lick and solo. And then I, and the song references Charlie and Jerry. Jerry Lee Lewis is my influence. I love boogie woogie style, rockabilly play. Yeah. So I got the signature Jerry in that song. We actually told our story lyrically in that song, but specifically as far as influences and genres, that's a good example of a blend where we put it together and made it work. And then right now we're being kind of methodical, I mean, about writing, and we're looking at what's working and what we like. So we're trying to blend, like, what is working in the music scene these days? And then what can we be inspired from that and then interject our own artistry into that? And so that'll come back to some of this that way, back to our answer on who we like. I love Lainey. I love the performance, anything we can do to write a song where we can perform the hell out of it. I love that. Of course, there's always a time and place for a slow song and a tug on a heartstring, which we have those as well. But goes into it, I guess, is what the answer.
As independent artists, like she was saying, it is that balance of, you know, we have to go down that path of what's working and succeeding, but also balance with what we like and what we want to do.
Sure.
So, you know, we don't have a big label, so we can't just do, you know, whatever and put it out there and spend tens of thousands of dollars so people can hear it. You know, we definitely want to make music that we like. So
sure.
And we want it to work. I want it to fit on a playlist so that we set ourselves up for success. Yeah. So when somebody comes and says, "Who are these folks?" And then, and then they click on it, like, "Oh, that's, you know, that it doesn't stick out sonically from what they're listening to on mainstream right now." And that's important. Right. I think that's where my marketing brain interjects itself into our creative process, and maybe to a little too much sometimes.
And with our last album, which is also titled Fiddle and Keys, was the title track there that came out this past fall, last year. And, you know, it kind of does have a little bit more, I guess, selfish. Some tracks are a little bit more not what's in the mainstream right now. But, you know, it's not so far off that when you listen to what we're going to make probably in the future and then go back and listen to that, it's not going to be like, "Oh, my God, that's two different artists."
Yeah,
you know, that's
right. So.
Yeah.
Well, Susan mentioned The Devil Went Down to Georgia, right? And I think that's a great song. But is there any one song that you, if there was one song that you would be okay not to listen to ever again, which one?
Right.
Mine is, I think it was Sweet Home Alabama by
Leonard
Skinner. Every time I went to the bar, you know, I'm 44, you know, and 20 years old, 20 and 30, I went to bars. And every time I went to a bar, there would be, you know.
Yeah.
So is there any song that you don't want, that you would be okay not listening to again?
And, I probably could give you 100 songs. I'd be fine with that. However, I'm going to tell you that I would never tell you those songs because those songs make me hundreds and thousands of dollars.
There you go.
It all goes back around.
If I had to give you the one that I'm just like, "Oh, I hate this."
Maybe the worst song you could,
Okay. I don't know why this one sticks out, but Dancing Queen. And I think
I knew she would say that.
I just don't. I'm like, "Oh," and they love it. They love Dancing Queen. They want to dance to it and girls and all this. But I think it's honestly because that vocal is very hard for me. Hard to sing. So I think that's really my hang up on that one is this just hard. Sure. And I have to key it down. And I do aspire to be able to sing in that register powerfully. But just that song, I guess, is the one I'd have to answer. What would yours be?
Or All I Want for Christmas.
All I Want for Chris.
I
did have one, but now I have two.
Oh,
but,
okay.
One was always Margaritaville. Oh. I just can't stand that song.
Yeah. Understand.
I mean, it's not the worst song ever, but I just don't like it when we get a request for that. But now it's tied with Texas Hold'em. It just really overplayed.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that Beyonce one?
Yeah, the new Beyonce. This ain't Texas. It ain't Hold'em. I will tell you, you know, it's our job when somebody requests a song to act like we love it. It's the best thing since sliced bread. So what we do with those, Yeah, if we don't like the song per se, and it's not that I enjoy playing Brown Eyed Girl and Sweet Caroline. In fact, I probably could add Sweet Caroline in there as one of my least favorites. But however, I love it because I can get a crowd to do what I want. And the
Oh,
art of
yeah.
the performance, it's not the song and the art of the song anymore. It's what the song will do for me in the show and the performing art advantage that
Right.
it gives. So.
Just an example of something completely different that happened last night. There was a birthday party for a 90-year-old who was not there because he was in bed.
Naturally.
And but
Yeah.
they had his face on little,
Stick.
cutouts,
Okay.
and we started playing Sweet Caroline. I can't remember. I don't think we had a request for it. We just
No, they
it.
did. It was a
Oh,
request.
it was a
It's the
request.
second request on the
And
song.
as we started playing it, they brought up a sheet of paper, like printed out,
Printed piece of paper.
that they had rewritten the song. And instead of Sweet Caroline,
I was
the
singing Uncle Eddie. Uncle
yeah, sweet,
Eddie's.
sweet Mr. D is what they said.
And they loved it. I mean, they loved it.
I
So
mean,
the
you
song.
never know what's going to happen, and it really
Yeah.
pleases everybody. So, it's moments like those that we stop thinking about how much we hate a song. It's just
Sure.
about the moment and what we're creating in the moment.
Right.
Did you
Right.
charge them a little bit extra for that?
We are of the mind when you over deliver a quality show, money will follow, and it never has failed us.
Right.
So.
There you go.
Exactly.
There you go.
Can you tell me what are some of your biggest challenges as a duo, as a couple working in the music in the country in music industry?
The biggest challenge is being able to get your music out there and cut through the noise,
Standing out, really.
stand out. And
Yeah.
so investing in ourselves in resources and time and building a team and having the financial and any type of resource really to be leveling your game up and reaching more people. And I think it all comes down to just work ethic and being able to find the resources, which it's a great day and age to be in, because as indie artists, we have a lot that we can get and do on our own and get our music out there. But cutting through the noise and being able to get to that next level, and that takes a lot of time and bandwidth. And so we don't have children, and people always ask, "Do y'all ever sleep?" Because we love to work and we're always working and what. But I think balance whenever you are the product you're selling, and we only have like two team members now. Which is a lot more than we had a year ago. So, and it just constantly staying on the balance, finding us time and me time is something we've tried to be a little bit more methodical about. Going for a walk and not thinking about making content because we got to post something, or it's like those kind of things are a challenge.
I gotcha. So, do you guys have any like memorable performances or like tour experiences that had a pretty significant impact on the both of you?
I've never seen anything exciting in our career.
Stop it.
It's all very boring
boring. I'm here out
and
loud.
Chris has a very dry sense of humor. Sometimes I'm like, that's a terrible joke. Say
Right?
there's a lot of things that stand out that have happened. And some of them I probably can't say on this podcast. I don't know what our watch clientele is on.
We don't know either, so it's all right.
We're about to make a decision right now. No, I just there's it's really wild. Obviously in bars, clubs, we've played in so many different types of places, to big nice theaters and stadiums, to just a slum bar, I don't know if there's,
I'll
I'm sure you
answer
have a specific one that stands out,
that.
but I
That
can't
was a very
really.
generic response. I'll give you some more pointed ones. Opening for ZZ Top. Opening for ZZ Top was
Wow.
probably one of the biggest feathers.
Wow.
That was incredible. And we had a 30-minute opener spot. They wanted an acoustic duo. They didn't want a drummer. So we came in, they saw our video, they chose us to come in. They didn't mind covers. We were like, well, we're gonna have to do covers if we're doing classic rock, and they were cool with that. We brought the fiddle, and I was like, we have to end with Devil, but I don't want to piss off ZZ Top and do Devil Went Down to Georgia, which is country, and they wanted classic rock. So we get there and we're like, do you care if we do Devil Went Down to Georgia? And they're like, sure, that's great. So we did Devil as a duo with our drum machine. We have it's a little bit of technology we use to sound like a full band. And we got a standing ovation. And so
Nice.
that was really cool. And that
Now,
we,
that was post of the hill, right?
that was 2022. That was
Okay.
June of 2022.
Yeah.
So Yeah, that was about 2 years ago.
Definitely the other one that sticks out for us is our national TV debut. We were on the Huckabee Show in Nashville, and we got to perform two of our original songs, and that's been a huge catalyst to really grow our fan base. And one of the songs, we performed Fiddle and Keys, which is great, high energy song, but one that we didn't realize would have taken off, at least in one social media aspect, which is Facebook, is A Song for Granddad, which is one I wrote about my late grandfather. That's garnered probably 2 million views almost.
It's nearing 2 million views on Facebook, and people are just like, I'm crying now, or this reminds me of my grandfather, or it's just resonated on a deep sure. level we did not realize would be the case. And so, those are the two. We opened for Sawyer Brown about a month ago. That was fun. It was hot, a hot Arkansas festival. We've had some big shows, but I'd say some of the moments that we've had in clubs where somebody just, you know, you connect with them or something happens and you know that they needed that night with you. Mm-hmm. Those are just as memorable to me, because that's really what it's all about. I mean, it's one thing to play big shows and reach massive audiences, but sometimes those small connections we have and the friends we've made all over the world, just in these small bars, is really, to me, more beautiful. And that's kind of a roundabout answer.
Yeah.
Love
so
it.
Before we do have about like three or four questions, but before we go, I want to mention your production company is Big Red Dog Productions.
Yep.
Everybody can go to bigreddogproductions.com, and they got a vast pages you could go through. But so you are basically your own label, correct? With this one, so you don't have to take it, like, you don't have to follow the standard rules, you know.
Yeah.
And what I found interesting is anybody can work with you, because on the services, people can come in and create a song with you, correct?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah, we've had so many artists come in. I'd say most of what, you know, it's kind of my specialty, I guess, what we specialize in is people that don't have a band, you know, come into kind of how she said earlier, that have a song. Maybe they just sing, maybe they don't play anything, or maybe they just play guitar or piano. And I'm able to build everything else around it, because I play several different instruments, so I can pretty much do whatever they want. And, you know, if I need to, I can hire in a musician or two. But I've worked with pop, rock, a little blues. Actually, I have worked with blues artist and country,
praise and worship.
Yeah, praise and worship, kind of R&B stuff. So we've done a lot. And I always have that anxiety that every song that I'm going to work on is going to turn out like complete and utter garbage, but for some reason it always ends up being all right.
Well, I will brag on Cliff. He produced a full album and is working on the second volume, the second album, with Freedom Sings Arkansas is a nonprofit organization that works with veterans who tell their story from war in their service through song. And they're paired with songwriters, and they do this songwriting, and a lot of them say it was better therapy than going to a therapist. And so they put this in song and in writing, and then they bring the rough work tape to Cliff, and they just trust him to go and make this album worth of music. And it's beautiful. And it's called Freedom Sings Arkansas. Volume 1 is out now, and volume 2 is in progress. So that's a feel good project. And I think a lot of the reason Cliff has come a long way, because he had such a depth of catalog that he had to finish and complete. And it really got really efficient in the studio and started garnering a lot more, probably confidence even, I would say.
I mean, the more you do anything, the better you get at it. But also, you know, it's like in mixing and arranging every song that you work on, it's never going to be the same. And so you always have new challenges. You always have new things that are going to happen. And just learning how to combat all of that. And I mean, it's what makes it. Makes you better. So
he produced all but two of the songs on our debut album were his arrangement production, and he played almost every instrument except for the keys and vocals. He did everything. So I think that's something that a lot of people don't realize when they hear our music, that that's Cliff.
Wow.
Pretty much Cliff. Yeah. Which is pretty incredible.
That's awesome. So as far as your personal relationship, and your like professional partnership, how do you guys balance that, with like working together, especially during like busy touring and like recording schedules and all that stuff? How do you guys kind of keep afloat, kind of, I guess? Yeah.
Balance.
We get that question a lot. And I think it's a good question, because, it took me a long time to find somebody in life to do, well, first of all, to find someone that does what I, you know, for 20 years I've been performing full time. Mm-hmm. When we went on stage, I say, I always answer that question with, first, it takes a certain kind of personality type. It's kind of like a yin and yang to,
right,
that we get to, we are together 24/7, and we would have, mm-hmm, it no other way. And I think that whether you play together music or you're in business, like you and your wife are working, mm-hmm, around each other. I don't know if you work with each other, but you work around each other all the time. Mm-hmm. You find a balance, and I think personality types have something to do that. I think it helps, at least. Yeah. So I'm more A type, and he can put up with my A type crazy better than anybody else I've ever met.
There we go.
So patience and all that. And then just, I always answer, he always says he starts fights before we go on stage, because that's the answer to the fight, is that we just have to fake it to make it, and then we get over it. Music solves all problems. So
and it truly does, you know.
And I'd also say, you know, keeping up with your schedule and finding those gaps where you can lock yourself in a bathroom and scroll TikTok for about 15 or 20 minutes.
Is that what you're doing?
No, that's not me. I'm just saying maybe.
Well, but to add to that, finding, you know, I mentioned this earlier, but finding time for us to go. And actually, we went on a date night the other night for our 7th anniversary. And I'm like,
first one, 7 years, I think.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. We tend to not find as much balance. So I don't know that it would be the key to it, since we don't do it much, but I would say finding time for us is important.
Sure. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I love that. Yeah. Like we, you know, my wife and I, we both work from home. We work for different companies, and like, you know, it was a big step for me to like do something like this. I'd never worked from home before. And you know, we share an office, and the amount of people that were like, you guys are going to hate each other, you're going to be at each other's throats all the time. And like, I get like follow-up questions later on, and they're like, you know, how do you guys like working from home, right? Like, you're ready to kill each other? Like, no, dude, it's great. We love it. Yes.
Yeah.
Because we hang out and we listen to music, and we like work in similar fields. So like we vent our frustrations to each other. And I'm sure that's where you guys like really like are cohesive too. Like, you know, your frustrations with things, like you got somebody right there to just be like, man, this really just pissed me off today. And, you know, and you got somebody that you can kind of vent to, and right there, I love it, and I'm sure you guys absolutely love being able to do this together. It's such a special thing. Yeah,
it is a blessing, and it really is. I mean, I'm big on manifestation and writing affirmations in the morning and setting goals and stuff. And I've been writing recently that my superpower is my husband. Like, I just feel like on so many levels I was saying my superpower is my husband is kind of my mantra lately, because not only is it a great, he's talented, and for the face value, yeah, absolutely, as a duo we bring a bigger sound and all the music, but behind the scenes he's such a support for me, and I think we just make a good team. And so when you find that partner in life like that, it's, you don't take it for granted at all,
right? Yeah,
absolutely.
Oh, that's so sweet. Okay, so remember when I said I got two of the hardest questions ever made?
Fire it.
Okay, so I don't know if you'll like me at the end of this, but we're gonna go for it, you know.
Okay.
So Mount Rushmore, okay, four bands, if that is your favorite of all time, all genres, you know, male, female, whatever. Who is your four Mount Rushmore?
The faces that go on there?
Yeah. But bands, artists, you know, I mean, yeah.
Willie Nelson.
Okay.
Dolly Parton.
Uh-huh.
Elvis.
I love it.
And I got a lot of country in there. I'm trying not to get country.
Oh, it doesn't matter. This is yours.
Frank Sinatra.
Nice.
Perfect.
Heck of a Rushmore. I love it.
Yeah. I could get a little out there if I needed to, but if I really had to be like, oh, I'm trying to win Jeopardy or something, that would be.
And I love you because you mentioned Dolly, and I think that she's on a roll today. Well, now, because she's been doing country forever, and she just released a rock and roll record, which I'm sure you've heard. It's great. You know, I'm so glad that she's experimenting more stuff, you know. So that's great.
Yeah. What do you think? You've had more time to think. I was.
I mean, Bob Seger, Willie Nelson was on mine. Bob Seger, Willie Nelson, definitely Yoko Ono. Just kidding.
I was like, oh my God, dude.
Yeah, Ricky Martin and
Justin Vaughn and
I was trying to think of, you know, throwing down
like Bob Dylan wouldn't be terrible.
Yeah, I did think about Bob Dylan because I'd say John Prine in there for sure. And then I have to have a rock, and I'm trying to narrow down a rock influence. And I think I'll have to go with Van Halen just because of my music, you know, just the guitar influence that it had on me. But you know, it just as a band, I feel like there's probably a better rock band that's actually a bigger influence in what I've musically. But that was, I'd have to think on it more.
That's hard. I would love that to be a question just to the masses and see what the actual statistical numbers are for the top four. That'd be interesting. Yeah. That's my math brain coming out. I'm like, we got to pull it. Who is
pure
it?
Mathematics.
Yeah,
I'm still trying to figure out what that is.
That's the pure part.
What is pure mathematics? Is that like
It's more rooted in physics, and it's kind of the calculus is.
So you're a mathematician then?
Yeah. So it's I have a pure mathematics was the name of the degree, but math degree. I have a physics minor, and so how things work and the math behind it. Just very, very science based, not and a lot of statistics too, but not so much like 1 + 1 in statistics. It's more about the calculus.
Yeah.
So basically you do the numbers of the, like when you get like royalties and checks.
I have a math.
I'm like Cliff. I can't do math.
There you go.
And I guess
I have a spreadsheet that has all kinds of formulas and macros. Okay. In fact, before I got on here, I was starting to learn Airtable, which is a database, because I'm like, I got to have a better database. So we're about to.
I actually have 2 degrees. And
oh, no. Okay.
It came in a 2-pack and it's got 48 hour perspiration protection.
Yes.
That's good. I'm going to start using that if you don't mind, because I'm always like, everybody asked me like what my school experience was. I was like, you know.
Yeah, 2 degree.
I dropped out about 2 semesters in, and I started making pizzas full time. So, I'm going to use that.
I went the pizza route too, man.
There you go.
We got to sit together.
Well, I'm not. I could argue that I'm not using my degree. I loved my college years, but I think in today's day and age, having a good trade and investing in whatever program you can find to get the skill set and then build it. I mean, we're in a different age, and I think AI challenges the school and e-learning and all of that. I mean, there's some crazy statistic of how many colleges are shutting down right now every week. If they don't figure it out, I think the degree, my point is the degree is great, but it's actually what you are able to do in real life scenario that is the true value. So
I think it's great because despite your math degree, she'll be over there and be like, what's 8 + 7? You're talking about,
I don't know.
That's 15. I do know that.
Yeah.
So do you guys, like, as kind of a wrap up question for you, do you guys have any specific message or themes that you hope to convey through your music? And you know, like, is there a way for you to do that and connect with your audience? What's kind of been your experience with that since you guys started?
I'd say in writing, where my brain comes from is just the relation of, you know, if can you relate to what we're singing. I'm always the, I love the storyteller nature of country music and the tradition of country music. You know, it's about personal experience and hoping that someone can relate, and you know, that it's, I'd say her, what you would typically say is that the love and unity is what we always tend to want to.
Yeah. I was going to answer music. That myself and just say, you know, prior to this year, I like to write about some things that write for therapy, just to kind of get how I feel out on paper and make something beautiful out of, you know, something that maybe have not been a great experience in the past. But and then with Cliff, I wanted to write to entertain people. I want to write to be able to entertain, right? That's cool. I mean, you can write great songs people want to dance and sing along to, and it's just about normal, like nothing too deep. It's just fun, entertaining. But as of late, I've really been feeling a calling to be more of a methodical, inspirational, and unit, like music. Not to bring up a weird subject, but we all know what's been going on in the world, the divisiveness that we're living in right now.
Yeah.
And last night there was, I'm telling you, the most diverse group of anything. I don't care if it was religion, politics, demographics, they were all in that room and they were all singing the same songs and they were all human and we all bleed red. And I was like, this is the answer. Like, how do I do more of this? And part of that is entertaining. But also at the end of the night, after we got a really weird request that kind of really bothered me, I won't go into that right now, but the last song we played was Crowded House. What's the name of it?
Don't Dream It's Over.
Don't Dream It's Over. It says, don't let them come between you. And it was like this, and I was like, this song right here, there's lyrics that can be written. That's our modern day. Imagine John Lennon. It's our modern day. Like, we need a revolution. Like that, some of that music came out of the times of bad times. And when we needed to come together, and I feel like that's needed. So I'm feeling a calling to write like that right now.
Yeah.
Love that.
Well, we do honestly thank you for coming on, and I'm sorry we couldn't get you and sooner, you know, but y'all been busy, you know, y'all been cranking it out. I love y'all for that, you know, I always say being busy is better than being bored, you know?
Yeah. Well, we're definitely not bored, but we look forward to seeing everybody back home in Arkansas when we get home. We're here in California until the end of July, and then we head back to Arkansas, and then we'll be on the island of St. Martin. If anybody wants a good reason to come to the Caribbean in November, we're down there.
Yes.
But yeah, we have a lot of shows. We'd love to see everybody at a show somewhere near them.
Yeah.
Nice. And for everybody listening, you can go to SusanIrwin.com. And that's Cliff and Susan's website.
And if you go to cliffandsusan.live, we're in the process of migrating everything over to our cliffandsusan.live name. So if they go to cliffandsusan.live or Cliff and Susan on any social media platform, we'll get you to all of our stuff.
Okay, you're on Instagram, nice. Facebook, TikTok, X, I guess. X,
Yeah.
So, so we honestly do thank you for coming on and come back anytime you want to. And I would love
to have a great. Y'all try to stay cool out there in that muggy South Carolina.
Oh my God, that's rough out here.
I just got a notification on my phone just a little bit ago for Arkansas, Central Arkansas, and just like dangerous heat.
It's brutal.
Well, thank y'all so much.
Thank you guys.
We appreciate you coming on for real. It was great meeting you. I'm looking forward to listening to more of your music. I'm telling you, me and my wife both listened to Into the Mist today and was like, oh, this is great. So very excited. Thank you again for hopping on here and chatting with us a little bit. So
thank you so much.
Thank y'all.
Absolutely.
A lot of fun.
And for everybody listening, always remember, when words fail,
music speaks.
Bye guys.
Bye. See ya.